The TSW Roundtable is a proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. Follow at SW Commonwealth on Twitter and take your first steps into a larger world. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the TSW Roundtable. I am your moderator once again, Robert Cast, and this is a huge one today. This is our last roundtable pre-Last Jedi. So, last roundtable Jedi slash everything. So, we have a really, 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 really big episode, and we have hosts from all around the Commonwealth, and this is a hostful show, I guess you can say. So, I can just spin around the roundtable really quick and get these introductions in here. I have all the way from Vancouver, BC, from the Generation X-Wing podcast, Rob Ease. You want to say hi to everybody, Rob?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Rob.
Doctor.
Doctor. Okay.
The joke makes sense in about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
I swear.
And okay, well, we might as well hop across the pond then. From Talk Star Wars proper, Rob Wade.
Hello there.
Hello. Welcome back to the roundtable, guys.
Well, thank you.
This is, you can see a trend going. We have Rob's, but we're going to buck that trend right now. I'm going to go all the way south of the border, and we're going to talk to Ben from the Skyhoppers. Ben?
How goes it, everyone?
Honorary Rob.
Honorary Rob.
Oh, Ben, I love that.
How about Ben Ease? No?
No. I won't allow that.
You want? Okay, sorry. That's an inside joke. If you are a Commonwealth fan, you will find that very, very funny.
Ben Granman?
No, this is all. I am leaving.
Podcast from the Grandhoppers.
No. I do not like where this is going at all.
Okay. Well, we'll hop off that for now. While I'm south of the border in the US of A, we have Commander Cody back.
Ready to execute Order 66. How's it going, guys?
Excellent. This is awesome. And of course, I'm going to hop back up over the border and just across a provincial border from myself, my good friend from the Tumbling Saber podcast, Kyle.
Zut alors.
Bonjour, sir. Please, no swearing on this show, sir. It's
You know what's funny? They just, like, the French TV stations here just kind of okayed English swearing on all their networks.
Yay.
So, like, the F-bomb, it's all good. Because,
we just can't,
hey, it's English.
We just can't put it on a street sign, can we?
No.
No English. Sorry.
Why would you need to?
you'd be shocked and amazed, Rob.
F and slow down.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Well, so, as you can see, we got a really packed show. We got a lot of hosts from all around the Commonwealth. And right off the bat, guys, thank you so much for doing this. And this is, like I said, this is the last show prior to our new movie coming out, and everybody is super excited. But before we get to our movie stuff, we have a couple topics I just want to cover. This last week, Battlefront 2 was released, and a few of us have had a chance to play it, aside from the beta version that came out a while ago. So I'm going to throw it to Cody first. Cody. Oh, wait, sorry, I should warn everybody, we might jump into a little campaign discussion, so if there's any spoilers, you might want to move ahead about 15 minutes there if you're worried about spoiling the campaign in Battlefront 2. So, Cody, have you've dipped into this?
I did, yeah, quite a bit, unfortunately. I don't know if you want to start with me. I don't want to make this entire pissed episode about Battlefront. I did finish the campaign. Oh, man, I don't know where to go from that. I don't want to start talking about the campaign. Well,
okay,
someone else can do that. We'll pick it up. But I've been having a lot of fun with the Starfighter Assault mode. And anyone that's listened to our show knows we've been complaining about the game kind of since the beta.
Okay.
Which I don't feel bad for.
You've been talking about the spawning, right?
Yeah, a lot of things. Yeah, a lot of things. And this whole Reddit controversy about the microtransactions and the heroes, mm-hmm. I wasn't even really mad about that. I was more concerned with, like, the mechanics of the game. But last 2 days, me and Mopar have been playing a lot of Starfighter Assault, and I will say that game mode is perfect. There's nothing I would change. It's fantastic. It's, like, the best part of the game that I've played so far.
Awesome. Yeah, and I think, I know I was looking forward to it, about the, you know, I just want to fly around. You know, mm-hmm. We discussed before in another roundtable where I thought the playing as a Jedi or a Force user seemed a little clunky, swinging around the sabers in the first Battlefront or the last Battlefront that came out. So this, I was just looking for a little bit of improvement on that when this came out. So anybody else? Who else? Rob Wade, have you dabbled in the Battlefront a little bit?
I played a little bit, yeah. So I'm on the Xbox One, and on the Xbox One, if you have EA access, you can play for 10 hours. So I was thinking that's enough time to complete the campaign. Wrong.
Oh, no.
only because I think it probably could be done, but Twice. They restrict you. Yeah, they restrict you to like the first three missions. So you can do the prologue, and then you can do the first two campaign missions, and then it flashes up a screen that says that basically that's your lot until you buy the full game, which I understand, but obviously is not ideal. But, you know, obviously I can understand it from their point of view. If everybody just plays through the trial, finishes the campaign, and like, yeah, I'm done, and never plays the game again,
right.
Obviously they lose out. But yeah, it was kind of annoying that I didn't realize that was the case when I started playing. Otherwise, I probably would have waited. As it is, I mean, what I played, I enjoyed, but it hasn't. That combined with being part of the Rogue Squadron's Patreon chat has kind of has kind of left me thinking I can wait, and it's fine. And I don't need to buy this like immediately. Plus, I had the story spoiled for me because I'm on Reddit, and that's what happens.
Okay, so you have the Emotionally 14. You do your game cast, right?
Yep.
So as a game podcaster, like, how does this? Of course, every Star Wars fan is running out to buy this. Even if I'm not a gamer per se, but I have a copy of this game in my house now. But yeah. As someone who podcasts about other games, how does that hold up to what's coming out, like, say, in the last year or so?
I mean, it's tricky because if you're purely evaluating it from a campaign, it's nowhere near worth the money, right?
Okay.
Because it's not primarily designed for that kind of experience. But, I mean, in terms of pure kind of fun, I did have a ton of fun playing the Starfighter combat during the campaign. And the on-foot stuff is still pretty cool. But, I mean, I've played significantly better games in the last year, but that's not to say that it's by any means bad. Like I say, what I played of it's really fun. It's just, I wouldn't go out and drop, I mean, it's $60 in the US. It's about the same in the UK.
Yeah.
Because we historically have always paid more for tech.
A lot of people are saying they're going to wait until they can get it pre-owned.
Yeah, I mean, that's one way of doing it. I'd probably just wait until I finish some more games, and then I've got a smaller pile, because the other problem is I've got about 15 games on my pile that from various times over the last 5 years, and I'd rather work my way through some of those and then see, you know, at the end of that, do I have a desire for Star Wars stuff, in which case I'll pick up the Battlefront full game. But until then, I'm not in any desperate rush.
Okay. And I believe Ben, did you say you had a chance to play this game?
Yeah. I picked it up Friday, 17th, launch day, which was just, you know, a couple days ago. And I've already actually completed the campaign. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I definitely think that it ended up being a little predictable. But that didn't bug me too much. I think there's outside of the campaign, I guess the controversy kind of surrounds the campaign to an extent as well. There is all of that controversy concerning the microtransactions, and I don't want to say it's soured me on the game, because multiplayer honestly is not. I guess it's a little weird to say, you know, in 2017 playing a game with multiplayer and not focusing on it, but multiplayer has never really been the huge draw for me. So I kind of
know there's kind of an attraction with playing with 12-year-olds who swear and curse at you and homophobic. I mean that.
Spoken like a true teacher there, Rob.
You get to relive your middle school.
Sorry
days.
To my slip show. Sorry, Ben.
No. I mean, you're right. Like, and that's part of it, but not, I mean, you can always, you know, mute people or whatever, or just ignore the text chat.
An interesting point on that really quick is I haven't heard anybody on a mic the entire game ever. I don't know if they even included it unless you're in a party with friends that you know.
They might not have, because I've only played a couple multiplayer games myself. I've been focusing primarily. I've just been having fun with the single player stuff.
Yeah.
But the few games I have played, it's that have been blissfully silent. I can't hear anybody else. But I am kind of I'm in a weird place with the game because I definitely really, really hate how DICE and EA are handling this whole debacle with the game's economy, which is honestly just a nightmare. But the gameplay itself is fun, and I really enjoy myself when I'm playing this game. Like, the visuals are great, the sound is great. I mean, much like the first Battlefront, it feels like Star Wars, which I think is what they're going for. But there's just all this there's all this peripheral stuff that's just kind of thrown into the mix and is making things a little bit more my feelings a little bit more cloudy than they should be, I think.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. Kyle, you said you haven't tried the game yet.
No, see, I guess this is what makes this group cool, is because I'm going to come at this from a different angle, because I haven't really played video games consistently in like the last 5 years, because once fatherhood hit, something took a back seat. So there's a warning for those of you who don't have kids yet.
Yes. You know,
kids have a way of taking away things that you love. But so now this, you know, this Battlefront 2 is really going to draw me back in. I think it's unavoidable. You know, 2 years ago, I was saying the same thing, but Battlefront 1 just got so curb stomped in terms of reviews that I said, okay, forget it. I'm going to hold off. So now it seems inevitable. My wife and I have talked about Christmas gifts, and we said, let's just get ourselves a console this year. And that'll be our gift to each other. You can get Battlefront 2, and she'll get one of her games that she likes, and that'll be that. So as long as I come, you know, I'll be coming from PS3 to PS4, and I have no standards when it comes to video games anymore. So as long as it's like an upgrade over the PS3, my mind will be blown. And I know, I'm pretty convinced from what I've seen and heard that I'm going to have a great time with the campaign. And like Ben, I don't give a rip about multiplayer. Like if I can sit at home and play multiplayer against the game's AI, good. Right. I'll mindlessly shoot droids or stormtroopers or rebels all day long. But I don't care one bit about hopping online. So, I haven't played it, but looking forward to doing it because it just looks and sounds like it's going to be a neat part of Star Wars.
Yeah,
I got a couple of things.
Yeah, of course, Rob. Yeah, I was just going
to. Sorry, didn't mean to jump in here.
Yeah, no. I was just going to say, do you have one of the consoles that?
Oh, God, no, I can't afford that.
No. But that's
a PS3 that's so old that I'm just happy playing Lego games on it. But I know that Jamie, Pale Rider in our podcast, he plays Battlefront religiously every Thursday with his 501st members. I mean, they even go to the bar to play it. There's this bar, EXP, in Vancouver that they all go play. And I'm very curious to see what he thinks of Battlefront. We're actually I'm going to meet with him next week. We're going to talk about it, and I would like to get his input on it. But I know multiplayer for him is a big deal, just like in the games right now. I think Battlegrounds is the newest one lately, where everybody's doing the it's kind of like this Battle Royale or something like that.
Yeah.
So, but my question is basically regarding the microtransactions. Now, I watch a lot of streaming. I know what microtransactions are. I mean, I see it everywhere. Even my son's Plants vs. Zombies 2 has microtransactions where even at the age of 6, he wants me to buy the $6 character that'll help him win, and I won't do it. But what is the microtransactions? Are just a way of life now, I'm thinking, with the video games. But what is so specific about the ones here that's bothering a lot of people?
Okay, Cody, you finished the campaign. Can you shed a little light on this, on what's going around this week with this microtransactions?
So the first thing that really made me angry about the game and the upgrade system was how much they promoted the new classes in multiplayer, which they didn't have in the 2015 Battlefront. Mm-hmm. And as a Battlefield fan, I was like, cool, classes, everyone has different abilities, different guns, stuff like that. But in order to upgrade your classes, you have to unlock things from these loot crates, which you can earn credits in the game and buy them. Or with the microtransactions thing, people can just pay actual money and unlock a ton of them at once and just have all the upgrades themselves. So people that, you know, put an extra $20 or $40 into the game will be way ahead of everybody that wants to do it like the old fashioned way.
That was different from the last game.
I don't know if there were microtransactions in the last one. I didn't play it that much.
I don't think there were. I think the only you could buy like the DLC. Right. If there were, they were certainly not on the scale that they are here.
Yeah, I think Ben's nailed it.
So it was that plus half of the heroes were locked behind a paywall. So like Vader, for example, you had to get, I think, 60,000 credits to unlock him. But by the time you would actually rack up 60,000 credits in gameplay instead of buying them, it was going to take you like 30 hours just to get Darth Vader unlocked while not being able to upgrade any of the rest of your stuff. So that's what really set people over the edge about the paying stuff with the game.
And so, again, is this different from what they did before? Because this doesn't sound like it's all surprising to me. I mean, people can pay ahead. And I guess I just assume this after seeing so many gaming sites and watching streaming and stuff, that you either work towards getting the character you want, or a lot of people will shortcut and pay for it. I know. Yeah. I find the whole thing unfair as it is, but it's just, I thought this was kind of expected, and I was a little surprised hearing a lot of people upset about it.
Well, and especially with everything that EA's done with their mobile games too. Like, it's the same kind of thing. I haven't played many, but Mopar has, and he's told me about that. It's the same kind of thing. You can grind for hours, or you can pay an extra 20, 30 bucks and just get a bunch of stuff unlocked at once.
Mm-hmm.
The issue I think that I take with this is the fact that whenever I download and play Galaxy of Heroes, I can play that game and just, you know, play it whenever I want, and it's always free. It might take me forever to get a certain thing, but it doesn't really matter because the only thing I'm investing is time. Mm-hmm. With Battlefront 2, I have put $60 into this game already. And
microtransactions or just buying
No, God, no.
Because you have to buy it up front, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you have that first upfront purchase. And basically, a common criticism that I'm seeing and have now, like, subscribed to is that you've got it's called freemium games, mm-hmm. like Galaxy of Heroes, I guess, falls under that category, that have almost pay-to-win economy.
Yeah.
And that's fine in those, you know, free mobile games or whatever, but the fact is that this is a $60 game with a freemium pay-to-win economy, which is just absurd to me. I don't understand how they ever thought they could get away with this. Not to mention the fact that a lot of the other stuff, it's EA, and the way they've handled this is infuriating. Just the fact that they touted the game back in August, I think, is whenever they were starting to release a lot of information about it. They're like, look, all this DLC, it's going to be free. You're going to get all this free content, and there's going to be a lot more content, and it's going to be great. And everyone's like, okay, it seems like they've really cleaned up their act from the first one. This is going to be really great. And then the beta comes out, and it's just like, okay, yeah, all this stuff's going to be free, but most of the base game is not. So,
but I'm still at the point where it's like, this has been going on for years now. I mean, even Lego, I'm playing Lego Star Wars with my kid, and hey, you want these other characters, and they are specifically better than the other characters. You can pay for it, and or you can buy the gold edition, whatever it is, the subscription or something like that, and they'll come to you free eventually. You're eventually paying for it because this is what kids do. They're impatient. They don't want to play. They don't want to grind. They want to play as a character and then just get over it in about 2 days and then move on to something else. This is, doesn't sound like it's new. I hate it. I absolutely hate the idea of paying for winning, paying for a character. It should be part of the game. Like, maybe it's because I'm an old codger, and this is what we did when we were kids. Yeah. But it's just, I'm not surprised, but I'm pissed off at the same time about it. Sorry. And it's why I don't get involved a lot with the video games lately. It's just, give me a good story and I'll be happy with that, and I shouldn't have to pay anything to advance.
Yeah.
Comes from ignorance. Is this a controversy, excuse me, solely because it's finally caught up with Star Wars fandom? Like, have we all been blissfully unaware of this stuff, and that suddenly it's hit us and we go, how could you do this to us? Yeah. This is Star Wars. What are you doing?
I think a lot of it is the fact that if you look at the way, not to mention the fact that this is, I think, a form of gambling, and the people that are susceptible, like the loot crate system.
Respectfully disagree.
Do you?
Yeah, I mean, I have some experience in development of this of stuff, so I do. I'm very kind of up on what the definition of gambling is. It's kind of not considered gambling because you will always get something for your money, whereas with gambling you don't. I mean, as a general rule, the gambling return is a certain percentage of every amount that's kind of input. So I don't know, for example, it might be one of those kind of one-armed bandits in the UK, it's kind of just in a pub or something, it's 70% return to player. So it's like, for every pound you spend, 70p will go back to a player somewhere in the game cycle. And that's kind of, and there's very strict kind of regulations on what that is. The nebulous kind of, the difficult question comes in the sense of, because they're not physical, tangible items, then people understandably think, oh, you know, well, I'm not getting anything from my money, but actually you're getting more than, you know, you're getting more, something more than nothing, which gambling doesn't guarantee you. So that's where it kind of, where the distinction lies. Now, there is a push to kind of reclassify that stuff. What you'll end up with is the same model, but they'll have to send off some piece of their software code to a commission that will say, yeah, there's a 70% chance of getting this cool thing. That's fine. And nothing will change.
Yeah, I think what's happening, though, with, especially with Star Wars, you're getting people that are like my age, Robbie's and Kyle, like, you were thinking about, like, you have people in our age group that are going, okay, I can actually go out and buy a console because of this Star Wars game. The last video game I bought for myself was probably Battlefront, the last one. So we're, I'm so disconnected from the video game world. So when we plug in this game, it's like, oh, I bought this cartridge, not cartridge, but a disc, excuse me. I slap it into this newfangled console I have. And then I'm like, wait, I got to pay more? Like, this, it's lost on us because we haven't been participating in this kind of gaming in the last 10, 20 years.
Well, I mean, I've seen it. I'm the youngest person on the show right now, I would assume.
Yes.
I've grown up with video games my entire life. I've seen this method of or this model like develop around me. And as someone who grew up with it and like saw it come into its own, I hate it too. Rob Yees earlier was talking about just getting a good story and just a fun, you know, like not every game has to be multiplayer, you know, and there are a lot of really good single player games that are coming out right now. But a lot of these larger companies with EA kind of at the front are kind of, I don't know. It's just what it comes down to, I think, for them is that, you know, a $60 game isn't, well, what they say is that a $60 game selling millions of copies is somehow not covering their costs of developing that game. And
to that point kind of makes sense. That combined with marketing and development costs and server costs, I can believe it.
Yeah.
Games have been $50 or $60 since like Xbox and GameCube came out. So that's been a while. They haven't increased.
They've come down, if anything. Because I mean, right. Super Nintendo, I was paying £60 then. And right. That was, you know, what, 20 years ago plus?
Yeah.
And these games are getting way more extravagant. So I can understand that at least.
No, and it's like that's a reasonable way of looking at it. But I just, you know, it just doesn't sit right with me. The fact that, you know, it's like you buy this game expecting to play, be able to play, even if you have to have some level of skill at the game to work up enough battle points in a one match to play as Luke Skywalker, I expect to be able to play as Luke Skywalker off the bat.
I think part of the reason about the credits and the earning things is that a lot of the credits that you get from gameplay is based on time, not on skill.
Yeah.
So if I get 10,000 points in a match and you get 1,000, but we both played for 10 minutes, so we get the same exact amount of credits.
That's not fair. Yeah.
And it's generally a paltry sum of credits compared to what you need to unlock some of these characters. And
yeah, that sucks.
And it's just...
Is there a Reese character?
No, thank God.
Well, not yet.
Not yet.
I'm not
holding all the free DLC.
If it's DLC, it'll be free, yeah.
And no one will play him because he sucks. He basically will just like drunkenly stumble around the map and act as like a decoy. Maybe.
Oh, finally, a character that plays to my playstyle. Yeah.
But can you imagine his PVR with three eyes? Like... All right. Okay. So now we're okay. We have Robbie's and we have Kyle. They do not have consoles, and we're trying to convince them to purchase a console so we can all have a trench run online.
Oh man, that's a terrible joke.
No. Okay. Okay. Now I'm just gonna go around real quick. I'm gonna tap each the rest of the guys, and I'm going to start with Cody. Should these guys invest in a new console for this game? It's a big purchase, or do you think there's enough? It's worth upgrading, especially with having young families in the house, like they can all appreciate what's coming after.
I would say if you want the game for the story and you're not big on multiplayer, to not get it.
Okay, Ben.
I think I agree with that, as much as it pains me to say it.
Okay, Rob.
There's not enough there to justify upgrading the whole console just to play that game. I would say, there's a whole discussion around should you get the console generally, and I'd be happy to go for hours on that. But if purely on the basis of should I get it for this game? No.
Okay. Maybe
back to the drawing board.
Yes. Rob Wade, maybe you can cover something about consoles on your next episode of the Emotional 14.
Full Team Gamecast. Yeah. Happily.
Thank you.
So I guess I'm stuck with my Candy Crush then, eh?
There we go. Awesome. And I just got the game yesterday, and I've took me forever to load it on my Xbox One, and I've tried. I'm still on that first droid thing in the campaign. I literally I played like 10 minutes maybe. And yeah. And I tried to find to get into the Starfighter mode, but I haven't been able to get there yet either. So.
So wait, here's one last question. I'm being very selfish, but I play like quote unquote multiplayer or battle mode or whatever it's called, but against a computer's AI? Can I just mindlessly for 3 hours shoot battle droids to my heart's content?
Yes.
They did put arcade mode back
in. Damn, I'm back in.
Okay.
You ever see that World of Warcraft episode with South Park?
Yeah, for sure.
Killing that's all I needed to hear.
That's you.
I just want to shoot things.
Unfortunately, I don't think that they included the Starfighter mode in the arcade, though.
No, I think you're right.
I haven't checked. It's not there, but I have to imagine that if they follow the model that the first game did, DLC will bring along with it additional game modes for, I'm assuming they would stretch to arcade as well. And if EA is not lying to us, the DLC will be free. So.
One of the reasons I got a PS3 was because of not just the game, but what it provided for me. Like, it provided Netflix, YouTube, it allowed me to play PS2 games as well. Does the PS4 do that?
Nope. It does the apps like YouTube and Netflix and all that stuff. But in order to play PS3, you have to subscribe to PlayStation Now, which is a stupidly expensive service and nowhere near as good as Xbox in that respect.
So this is the problem I have. I mean, I can't drop $600 Canadian on a system. Plus I need a second controller, plus I need a game, plus I need a cord, plus I need this, plus I need, I could take that $800 and put it towards like my kid's birthday party. I can put towards rent. And as much as I like that, I really want a system. It'd be lovely. I'd like to get a Nintendo Switch. I'd love to play Mario Kart, all that sort of stuff.
Oh, dude, get one of those for damn sure.
Yeah, and
I could evangelize about that for even more hours.
It seems like a lot of fun, and it's just it's a commitment. I've never seen such a commitment in video games before because it offers more than just games now. And as much as I admire it, I wish I had the money to spend it. So,
Well, there we go. Okay, so what I'm going to do right now, before we hop on to the next topic, I'm going to take a quick pause for a promo, and when we're back, we'll have more of the TSW Roundtable.
If you'd like to support what we do here at Talk Star Wars, then head to patreon.com/TalkStarWars and become a patron. Your support will help us as we expand our programming to include further shows, and in return, you'll get access to an exclusive VIP Facebook group, a monthly prize draw, weekly Facebook Live sessions, priority release podcasts, an exclusive daily podcast, and a whole lot more. Head to patreon.com/TalkStarWars today and become a TSW patron.
And we're back. Okay, so here we are. We are literally less than a month, so we're weeks away from The Last Jedi, and by the time this goes out, we should be a week or days away from The Last Jedi. So, I'm going to go around the round table, just around the horn real quick, and you guys can let us know what you're planning for The Last Jedi, and also are you staying away from all the new trailers and all the new TV spots? Are you going on social media shutdown? So Ben, we'll start with you. What are you doing for The Last Jedi?
I was actually concerned that I was going to be getting out of class 20 minutes before the showing starts, but thankfully that's like finals week. Ooh. And I don't have anything going on. Oh. So I'll be able to get out there. It'll be very cathartic because I've got a bunch of papers and stuff due leading up to it. But I am in a, you know, Bloomington, Indiana is not exactly a hub of, you know, it's a population hub. So I don't have
scum
to
scum and villainy.
That's debatable. we've got our fair share of that, but it's I don't have to worry about getting in line super early. Tickets for like the preview showings on Thursdays don't usually sell out, actually, or at least all of them don't. But I'm gonna be pretty relaxed about it. I think I'm gonna try to roll up to the theater around 5:30. Because I still want to make sure I get a good seat and whatnot, but I'm gonna just try to not make too big of a deal out of it because I don't have to, and that's never really been my thing. Like for The Force Awakens, I'm kind of just there to take it all in. I know a lot of people are there. It's like for a lot of people, it's the experience, you know, of like being at the theater for the movie with all the other people. But Star Wars has always been a very personal thing for me. So in a lot of ways, the other people just might not even be there, or might as well not even be there.
Yeah.
But as far as social media is concerned, I don't know. I hesitate to call myself a spoiler phobe, like one of those people who's yelling on Twitter all the time about spoilers, because I'm definitely not that. But I am trying to steer clear of, I'd say, like, about half the stuff that comes out. Like, if a new TV spot comes onto my Twitter timeline, I'll probably watch it. But I'm not, like, seeking them out.
Right.
You know, and I definitely don't watch them more than a few times. I've probably only seen, like, the Last Jedi trailer that came out last month 2 or 3 times at this point. Because it's just, that's not how I get excited, you know? And it's just that's
well,
yeah.
Raising.
Here we go.
Yeah. Yeah, I was gonna say this is a
family show.
Everybody,
yes.
Leave that one on the ground, guys. Okay. don't pick it up. But yeah, I'm kind of like very quietly excited.
Yeah,
if that makes sense, I think is a good way to describe it.
I think I know what you mean. I think I'm also at the spot now where I've seen as many trailers as I want to see. I know as much as I want to know about them. The movie
exactly.
That I want to know about, and now I'm just ready. I'm glad I got a first showing in my town, so I can't be spoiled. If as long as I stay off social media between, you know, like the, you know, from the UK or when you guys are watching it across the pond,
I'll be good.
Yeah. but also too, I also wanted to say to everybody listening, especially in the UK, and other podcasters, I don't want anybody to jump on, oh, let's say their Daily Show and say, oh, I was wrong. Because then that'll give a huge part of the movie away. Or I don't want anybody to say I was right, because that will also give away the huge part of the movie. So
Mark from Talk Star Wars, if you're listening, give the dailies a rest for a few days.
Oh, no, no, we can have the dailies, but I just don't want to.
No, I just think he needs a day off. That man is a machine. This is just a good excuse.
Yeah.
You're saying when I find out that it's Rey Skywalker, I shouldn't say anything about it?
That's right. That's right. When it's confirmed. So, Cody, well, you mentioned this on you were on the last roundtable with me, so you already mentioned, but you have a pretty big event going on for The Last Jedi.
Yes, we're super excited. So, and we did this last year for Rogue One as well. So we're just having a party. It's right across the street from where our local theater is at World of Beer. Gonna have the 501st is gonna be there in costume. Obviously, we're gonna have beer. That's a cornerstone of our show. We're brewing one with a local brewery, which I'm doing tomorrow actually, which will be a lot of fun. Prizes, giveaways, Battlefront 2 on the TVs, X-wing miniatures on the tabletops. It's gonna be fun all around. And we just got
a fan poster made from some of our favorite local artists here, which
sweet looking.
Sent to everybody. Very excited for how that turned out. It's got the old school feel from like the Empire Strikes Back text and everything. So everyone that's coming is getting one of those, and everyone in the Commonwealth obviously is getting one too. So we're geeked. We're geeked for that. We're all going to go out. Yeah, thanks. We're all going to go out and see it Thursday night right at 7 as a group. Me and Mopar and some of our friends, and then the party is on Friday. We're going to see it again Friday early in the morning, and then we'll be at the party, you know, like 3 or 4 p.m. until people go away. So
you guys do it right. Yeah. Last year when I listened to it, it sounded like a lot of fun. And man, I wish I was out there, because that's it's a party, as you said.
It is. Yeah. I mean, and I'm honestly surprised that we're going to be able to do this every year. It's going to be a blast every time, and it's just going to get bigger and better every time. So if anyone wants to make a trip out to Ohio, we'd love to invite you to the party and help host. As far as spoilers and things go, I watched the first trailer probably like 150 times. Not going to lie about it. the night it came out, I had it on loop, and I was pulling like GIFs and screenshots out of it. So I watched it a lot. After that, I'm not like going and hunting for them, but between our Patreon group chat and Twitter, I usually see the stuff anyways, and I'm not going to shy away from watching it. No way. I don't think it's going to ruin anything for me.
Awesome. Okay, so...
what's the name of your beer, by the way, Cody?
It's going to be called The Last Red Eye. It's a porter.
Love it.
It's a coffee porter. We're doing it with Landgram Brewing here in Columbus.
Outstanding. Okay, so I'm Rob Ease, all the way out in BC. Are you doing anything with you're doing a lot of stuff with your Outer Room Rookie, your 501st?
So this year, Jamie, one of my co-hosts, Pale Rider, he's part of the 501st. Like, we have a whole bunch of members of the 501st. I've just become an honorary member at the moment until I get my costume and gear. And he got me tickets with the help of Toy Traders. If you don't know who Toy Traders are, it's a massive, one of the largest independent toy stores in Canada. And I know that Steele Saunders was going to pay a visit here. And I know that Smith from Mallrats and those guys came here. And it's a massive toy store. And so every year they actually reserve a theater just for their group and the 501st. And he got me tickets, and I'm going, and I'm going to be with the 501st helping out as best I can. I don't know if I'm going to be filming anything, because I just, you guys know, when you're filming things, you're working, and I just want to kind of enjoy it and just kind of absorb the moment. So I think that's what I'll be doing. I'll just be hanging around with Jamie. Anil's got tickets with his family, so he won't be with us for the first time in a while. But Jamie and me will be together, and a bunch of other people you've probably heard in the show in the past anyways. So that's pretty much it. We're going to be hanging around the 501st. Who better to hang around with? So it's a lot of fun. And as for spoilers, I think Rob Wade said it best in one of his shows. Basically, once you became a podcaster, you're going to have to drop the idea that you're going to hear spoilers whether you like it or not. It's in our podcasting nature. So I'm going in clean. I'm not looking out for it, just like Cody. But at the same time, I'm just enjoying the commercials. And I just saw the recent one, and it's just a lot of fun. And it's fun to watch, and I'm really excited about this. I just want to enjoy a movie now, and it's we're taking it back to Empire Strikes Back, where we don't know what's going to happen now. Episode 1, 2, and 3, we knew what the final outcome, but here it's a brand new world. We don't know what's going on with Rey, Snoke, Poe, BB-8, BB-8, whatever you want to call them, and it's just going to be a lot of fun. And I would just want to enjoy this one, because I didn't enjoy Rogue One. And a lot of it had to do with reading into the trailers. And who would have known that 90% of the trailers weren't even there. And I think that kind of ruined it for me. And Jamie is my balancing act. He keeps me grounded, and he politely reminds me that just enjoy it for what it is, because Jamie's got the best positive attitude I've ever met in a human being. And it's nice to have him ground me and just say, just enjoy it. It's a movie. It's Star Wars. You'll be fun. So, and that's pretty much it.
Fantastic. Yeah. And I think you're absolutely right with your point, Rob, with the we don't know what's going to happen, because even when we're watching Rebels, Clone Wars, the prequels, anything we've had in the last 30 years now, we've known it eventually has to end up at a certain point. You know, it all has to land at, even watching Rogue One, we know, I mean, it's got to end at the beginning of, or somewhere around the beginning of New Hope. You know, I mean, same thing with the Clone Wars or watching the prequels. We know Anakin was going to turn into Darth Vader eventually. We just got the filler story. So that with you saying that this is all going to be brand new, we have no point where we're going to go, oh, yeah, this is, I was expecting it to go here, because we have no idea. And that makes it, I just love the fact that, okay, we're getting Star Wars and we don't know the ending. This is great.
Yeah. Can I jump in?
Yeah, of course.
No.
Elaborate on one of Rob's points. This movie, I feel like a lot of the marketing so far has been very, there are a lot of people that want this movie to be, you know, dark and gritty. And like, that ain't me. I ain't here for that. But like, having a darker tone, I think, is okay. But I don't know if Star Wars should be gritty, you know? But that's kind of what the marketing has been pushing towards, I think. There hasn't been that feeling of like, this is Star Wars. It's almost felt like, to me personally, I have a lot of anxiety surrounding this movie that I won't go into right now. But it's almost felt kind of like a weight a little bit. And then a couple weeks ago, one of the TV spots came out. Actually, it might have just been earlier this week. It was the one that was, it started out with Finn saying, "May the Force be with you." And it was playing like the Star Wars, just the main theme underneath it throughout the whole time. And that's what finally clicked with me. It's like, wait a second, why am I getting so worked up about this? This is a Star Wars movie. Just enjoy it. You know what I mean? It's still going to be fun. It's still going to be Star Wars, even if it is a little bit more serious at certain points. And it's like, that's okay. That's fine. And I'm really glad that that's one TV spot I'm very glad to have seen. Okay. I'll leave it at that.
Excellent. Okay. Well, I'm going to shoot over to Quebec here. Kyle, does your daughter have a Christmas concert the night of The Last Jedi again this year?
Or she does. Oh. And she, you know, the squeeze was put on me last year and she was only in kindergarten. So, you know, I had to shoot over there quick and then shove a bunch of food in my face. And now she's in grade one. So my window gets like crunched even a little bit more. But yeah, that's what we tend to do. And I guess, I don't know, maybe ages mellowed me a bit. Because going back to 97 and then into the prequels, I was going to be at the first showing no matter what time it was at. But now that's not as big a deal to me anymore. So what we have been doing, so that's my brother and James and Carlos and a couple other pals. Like, we've gotten together at a nice restaurant. We try to like kick back and just relax for an hour or two and then just go to the second showing. Now we figure, what's the big deal? 20 years ago, I would have thought you were nuts. If you're a fan, go to the first showing, stupid. But no, we're just a bit more laid back now. And in terms of spoilers, all that stuff, like, well, and again, like Rob said, if you're going to podcast about this stuff, you better get used to the idea of being somewhat spoiled. So I have no blackouts. I don't go seeking out the spoiler reports. But I also, you know, if they cross my timeline, I may or may not click on it, depending on which way the wind is blowing that day. But, you know, TV spots, trailers, I'll watch those. I'll break those down for the podcast. No problem with that. And then again, in terms of the movie itself, I've been calling this movie in particular sort of the fork in the road for Star Wars. It's going to divert from it's going to finish the Skywalker story, of course, but I think it's going to break away from, you know, our comfies, like, bubble. And it's going to lay down a lot of stuff that we may be sort of uncomfortable with now, but will serve the future of Star Wars very, very well. So I think that whatever Rian Johnson's new trilogy is will play off of what we're about to see, you know, in just a few weeks' time. And, yeah, I mean, it's – I want this movie to kind of challenge us as viewers and not just, you know, tickle that nostalgia bone. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's where, like, Force Awakens, they had to appeal to both. Now we can start lean. Now we, instead of making it appealing to the OT and bringing in the new viewers, now we can start making like a 70-30 split towards having the new content. And you know what I mean? Like, we can diverge a little bit further from that. Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah. And, you know, specifically with this new trilogy set in a new corner of the universe, unexplored, new characters, yada, yada, yada. I think they're dying to just tell us new Star Wars stories that aren't shackled to any Star Wars themes or tropes or, you know, poetry, rhyming, all this stuff. They don't want to do that. And I think right now with this current set of 9 movies, they kind of have to a little bit just to honor Lucas's work. And that's also what we kind of, as you know, lifelong Star Wars fans, it's kind of what we want. But I think we're going to press the reset button, starting with The Last Jedi, and these new movies that we'll get whenever we get around to that will be something totally different.
Yeah, because this is about these stories are placed in a galaxy far, far away, not a neighborhood far, far away, where everybody's going to know each other and everybody, like, there's lots of room out there to make all these brand new stories. So, okay, great. So I'm going to jump across the pond now. Rob Wade, what are your huge plans for seeing The Last Jedi and all the other good stuff?
So my plans aren't that huge. I mean, they're significant in the sense that I'm one of those stupids who's going to the first showing, which in the UK hits at midnight. So I have the rest of the week booked off because it's Wednesday night into Thursday morning. So I'm booking off Thursday and Friday and taking the rest of the week off. In terms of spoilers, it's probably a good thing that I've mellowed on them because Rob managed to spoil my answer.
I like how everybody's crediting me for your answer.
I know, right? Awesome. Yeah, it's not something I'm not used to. It's fine. Yeah, so I've over time, I have kind of mellowed to the idea of spoilers, mainly because, as Rob alluded to, I've mentioned before.
I'm sorry.
That's fine. It's okay. If you're on a podcast, especially one that sort of goes as deep as some of the Commonwealth ones, you will inevitably...
He said it.
Yeah. Everybody drink. yes. Inevitably, you will come across, at the very least, you'll come across speculation that may end up being true. So you do have to kind of draw a line in the sand. Say, okay, at this point, I'm just going to have to accept that I may see something that will be in the final movie, and I can't let that ruin my fun too much. But I don't necessarily go out of my way to go looking for spoilers. They tend to just find me.
Yeah, I think also, too, being a Star Wars podcaster, I'm sure all of you can agree, whenever somebody who's doesn't even know anything about Star Wars sees anything about Star Wars, they always get forwarded into your mailbox or onto your Facebook or Twitter feed.
Oh, dear God.
Is it, does that sound familiar, Ben?
Yeah. It does.
They'll ask to turn off her phone.
Now, Ash is usually the one getting spoiled.
Yeah, so I'm saying tell Ash to turn off her phone after the movie or before the movie starts. So.
That's her. That's her plan. Like, she's just going to be completely incognito, I think, for like that whole week.
Wow.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, Ash was spoiled the movie before she went in by a friend of hers who just happened to text her on Rogue One and say, "Hey, just shame everybody died." And that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
It was one of those. It was one of those nerds in the UK. Rob, keep him under control, will you?
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm not like the absolute wrangler of every single nerd in the UK.
Are you not?
No, I'm not even the wrangler of the ones I know.
Oh, crap. I'm sorry. I've been completely misled.
No, it's okay. I get this a lot. But the people, I don't even get the kind of respect from the people I know personally, let alone strangers.
Oh, well, I thought you had more power. So I guess that's mark up one more person that you lost the respect of.
It's okay, Ben. I'll live. It's
well,
right.
on that topic of spoilers, that's why I'm going to see the first showing here. And I know it's not going to be the first one on the planet, but it's the first one I can get to just because I don't want that Han dies or everybody dies or I'm your father
that Homer
moment.
Simpson moment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't want that to happen. So, and that being said, like I was raised in the frozen tundra of Northern Ontario, and it was a cold and harsh wasteland to be raised in. And I have a very particular set of, I have a very particular set of skills. So if you spoil this movie for me, I will look for you.
I will look for you.
I will find you and I will kill you. I might beep
with
that
kindness.
Last part out and just
and apologize after.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry about that.
Yeah, sorry, but it was necessary.
Okay. You knew the consequences.
Yes, exactly.
I warned you.
Okay, so we're gonna wrap this up, but before we do that, I'm just gonna go around the table one more time, and everybody can tell us about what show they're on and what day of the week they can catch you at, and where to find all your good stuff and all your extra stuff too, and Star Wars or otherwise. So Cody, want to tell everybody about your show and when they can find it, and all your podcast services you're offering.
I feel honored that you always keep calling on me first. I feel like I'm back in school. Commander Cody here, co-host, of Rogue Squadron Podcast. We'll be going live later this evening. I know you'll be hearing this after the fact, but we stream Sunday nights at 8 every week. And the episodes are obviously available on iTunes, we're on YouTube, Stitcher, Twitch, all the standard places, and RogueSquadronPodcast.com.
Excellent. Rob Wade.
So you can find me on Talk Star Wars from the Commonwealth's point of view. I do tend to do run-ins on most places, so I'm trying to become the podcast invader and just turn up as many shows as I can. Time zones make that trickier than I'd like, but I'm still working on, I've made some good progress, so I'm optimistic. But other than Talk Star Wars, you can find me on emotionally14.com, where I'm the host of the Crazy Train podcast, as well as the E14 Gamecast, the E14 Toy Box on YouTube, and basically so much stuff. It's just like unreal.
Excellent.
You're kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
I wish.
And now apparently Nerd Wrangler for the UK.
Yeah, apparently. British Nerd Wrangler.
British Nerd Wrangler. And while you're also the UK correspondent on another podcast, I know.
This is true, yes.
Yes.
So I don't want to take your thunder, so I'll wait for that.
Okay, I'll hold my thunder to the end.
Oh my.
He said it again.
I should say right now, I gotta apologize if you're not a fan of the Star Wars Commonwealth and all the shows, please give them all a try and give them all a listen, and this episode will be a lot more funny if you know all the inside jokes.
Context is everything.
That's right. Okay.
A lot of these jokes are low-hanging fruit for everybody here, so.
Boy, howdy.
Doesn't stop me going for it.
Okay, Kyle, you want to give everybody all your good info?
Low-hanging fruit.
Hey, that's Corey's thing, man. I'm starting to put quotas on him for certain words. Mysticism, low-hanging fruit. He gets like two a show now.
In regards.
It's iconic, I tell you.
After that, I start using the I put the fining system back in.
Yeah, I have a sweat.
So, Kyle, you want to tell everybody about y'all your goings on in the Commonwealth and otherwise?
Yeah, you can find me at tumblingsaber.com and also on Facebook and Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. Our episodes drop on Tuesdays every week, and until we had Bridger transmissions going until just this last week when Rebels went into its winter hibernation, but that will be back. For now, it's going to be hit and miss until Rebels is back full time, but that will also drop Wednesdays when it does. And then on Fridays, we have Powerful Friend Fridays for our Patreon supporters, and that is just a smorgasbord of whatever comes out of our brains. So we have our Sith Disturbers podcast there, and Worthy of Recognition, and geez, Journals of the Willing. We got a lot of stuff cooking over there, but yeah, a lot of fun.
Excellent. Okay, so now Ben and Rob Ease. I know one of you, whoever goes last, is going to throw the other under the bus. So, who wants to go next? Ben, you want to?
Sure, I'll step up. I'll step up.
Be the bigger man.
Yes, which is funny because I'm like 5'8", I think. So I'm not usually the bigger man.
I'm 13 years old.
I'm the 13-year-old. Yeah, I'm like 5'8".
Have you seen his bed sheets, folks?
Dude, come on. Wait,
if he's 13, I hope not.
Leave that on the ground, guys.
Yeah, okay, sorry.
Yeah, Rob, actually, a lot of the stuff you said at Celebration qualifies. You're in some trouble, actually. I was 13 when you said some of those things
to me.
Oh, wow,
okay. Wow, is there a statute of limitations? Or actually, no, I'm up here in Canada, so I'm okay.
Oh, we'll get you.
As a teacher, we're gonna add Rob.
Rob's face now joins those of Louis C.K.
Oh no!
Oh no! B21B.
Hey, what happens at Celebration stays at Celebration.
This is
true. I believe it.
Anyway, reeling things back in. Yeah, you can find me on the Skyhoppers podcast. We launch every Friday at 8 a.m., barring any unfortunate mishaps on my end. It's been a while, so we've been pretty regular. My friend Ash and I pretty much talk about anything and everything. You know, we're just kind of all over the place.
Excellent. Okay. So, okay, Robbie's, you where we can
you'll find me in front of the school or regulation branch in about a week. also on my podcast, Generation X-Wing, where we're on Facebook, Twitter, Patreon. We have a couple new episodes coming out. We record 2 weeks in advance. We have a guy called Deo Williams coming out. He's a prop master and designer for some of the local TV and movies. And if you don't know where we're from Vancouver, we're like Hollywood North here, so there's a lot of stuff you've probably seen his work on, not realized it, but he's coming on our show right now, and we're going to talk about Star Wars and such. He's a 501st member as well. He's got this awesome Commander Cody costume, I believe it is. I think it's Commander Cody. But and he's also going to come talk to us about the top five movie weapons in TV and movie weapons, so we're going to have a lot of fun with this.
Oh, that sounds cool.
And so that's going to be coming out. I don't know when the show's coming out, but within the next week, so the end of November or so. End of November. And also my show, The Outer Rim Rookie, which is a YouTube video I do with another prop master, Terry Chu, who's on Panda Props. He's an amazing, amazing artist. He just recently, if you haven't seen it yet, check out his Chirrut Imwe's costume he did for the Battlefront release. It was out here in Vancouver. There's an EA studio out here in Vancouver. And so he was there with the rest of the 501st, and he did a costume as Chirrut Imwe. And it's amazing work. And so he's one of the guys who helped assist me on building my armor, and which has kind of been lacking lately, but we've been putting out YouTube videos on the process, and basically if I can do it, anybody can do it. So, and that's on our Facebook site, so Outer Rim Rookie. Other than that, yeah, and I that's it, I guess, pretty much.
Okay, excellent. Okay, well, before I mention my spiel, I should say that Ben, he is of consenting age in all of North America. So whatever happened at Celebration,
entirely legal.
Yeah, it was entirely legal. So you'll have to, I don't know, maybe we'll put out an After Dark side and explain all that stuff later.
As a teacher, I got to tell you, just real quick, sorry, Rob, as a teacher, you are, like, in our area, we are under a lot of investigations, not investigations, sorry. So, Freudian slip.
Go on.
We are under a lot of scrutiny on what we do in public, so it is kind of like, Ben is like a 45-year-old man. You need to understand.
Oh, yeah, no, this is all joking aside. Believe me, I'm the one being accused.
I did not actually mean to accuse you of anything.
No, it was completely, it was all mutual.
Okay. And now going to work on Monday. Thank you.
Okay, awesome. So on that note, you can catch my weekly show, The Roman Podcast. That has nothing to do with any of this stuff.
Great segue, by the way.
Yes. Speaking of weird humor and After Darkness, that is non-Star Wars, but if you're so inclined, check that out. And also, you can catch me on the TSW Comics. Have you guys heard of this one yet? Little show I do with Tim from the Nerd Room and Mark from TSW. Yeah,
Tim's good.
Yes, and that's a good time. And of course, you can find me for all the other good stuff, Robert MM Cast on Twitter. And I'm also in the Astromech Build Club, and I have put out a few videos about my Astromech build. But much like Rob E's, it's I'm hitting one of those spots in my build where there's not a lot to videotape. It's basically, I could put a whole hour together, but it's going to be very boring and very intricate and all electronic
the
and everything
magic
else.
Of editing.
Yes.
Edit. That's what it is.
Yes. So it's one of those things that, yeah, I'll have some more stuff. Hopefully if I get some time off during the holidays next month, I'll have some more stuff coming out about that. So, gentlemen, this pre-Last Jedi show, thank you very, very much. This TSW Roundtable is just a little monthly thing we do, but it launched last. We had our pilot episode with Rob Wade and Mark from TSW last December. So this is our we've come a full year.
Oh, wow.
We've done a whole cycle.
Yay! Has it really been that long?
Yeah. Yeah, so this is really awesome. And again, this is probably our most jam-packed show we've had, especially with hosts from almost everywhere. And of course, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention who else we have. The Nerd Room, check out Tim and the boys on the Nerd Room, and also the San Diego Sabres. Check out that podcast. And I think, am I missing any? Is that all they, including us?
I have no idea. There are so many of us anymore.
Yes.
Too many of us.
I really don't know.
I think that's
too many of them.
I think. Yes.
If I'm forgetting somebody, I apologize.
Yes, I do too. I just didn't want to leave anybody out from this roundtable. So until next time, when we reconvene after we've all seen The Last Jedi, I'm Rob Cast, and this roundtable is adjourned.